This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Hello. It's good to be back. It is the custom of St. David's to celebrate this Feast of All Souls with a Requiem Mass. A Mass in celebration of those we have lost or who have died. A celebration of the dead and of lives past. All Souls, what we Anglicans call the commemoration of the faithfully departed, or the Day of the Dead. This is the third day of Hallowtide, which takes place after Hallows Eve, or Halloween, then All Saints, and then, finally, All Souls. For those living in Central and South America, and even in other parts of the world, this is what they would traditionally celebrate, the Day of the Dead, or Día de los Muertos. This time, these 3 days, I believe, is an invitation to live into this liminal space, into the mystery of where the eternal, or divine, meets our earthly and mortal selves. As you enter St. David's this evening and walk through our lobby, you most likely walked past our Dia de los Muertos altar. We have created a liminal space, just as you walk through the doors of the church, where the past and present meet, if just for a little while. This custom, which was largely came from Mexico, has grown in acceptance and popularity, has a more joyful and celebratory air rather than macabre, as some who do not understand the custom see it. The tradition is a multi-day event spanning the days from All Hallows Eve to November 6th, as family and friends put up altars at home in remembrance of loved ones who have died. Some visit graves and leave offerings. Traditions, as you may well know, include honoring the deceased with calaveras, decorated skulls, and marigold flowers, leaving ofrendas for loved ones, which are treats. The celebration is more than just recognizing the dead, but also remembering that we are still connected to them. We tell stories of our loved ones, reminding ourselves and our loved ones that are still here that we are always connected, even in the afterlife. This night, this All Souls, we remember lives that ended. However, my hope is that we focus not so much on the endings, but rather on the times and seasons they did spend with us, that we honor those times and those memories and we cherish them together. There is beauty in this night of All Souls, in the act of remembrance, in setting aside a time to remember and to honor those who have passed from this earthly and mortal existence. Not only that, but to acknowledge that we are all still connected to one another. In the Celtic tradition, it is called the Samhain, or Feast of the Dead. Similar to the Day of the Dead, it was believed that the dead could return to the land of the living. Burial grounds in Celtic Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, and in other regions were opened and bonfires lit so the dead could make their way home. This time of year is a special time of year, a liminal time and space. When the northern hemisphere is moving towards growing darkness, as the days get longer and we prepare for a time of stillness and rest, a liminal time, where the veil between our earthly and divine worlds seem especially thin. The marking of the end of harvesting time and the beginning of longer and darker days. I believe, in many ways, All Souls is an invitation to a holy and sacred liminal space, a space occupied by our past and our present. When I left to go on sabbatical just 3 months ago in August, which, by the way, went by very quickly, I invited everyone to go see, to watch the movie called The Way. A movie that encompassed the reason and meaning behind taking a pilgrimage like the one I just returned from. El Camino de Santiago de Compostela, or The Way of St. James. In the movie, Martin Sheen plays the estranged father of a young man who died on the very first day of his pilgrimage on the Camino. He flies to France to retrieve the body of his son and bring him home. But while there, he is compelled to cremate the body and then do the Camino. So he begins the month-long walk. While recalling the hard conversations between he and his son about what it means to live a life well lived, a life that he wasn't living, connected with each other and with the divine, he begins his walk. When he first starts walking, he begins in haste, wanting to just get through it, not sure why he's doing it, but knowing he wants to honor his son. Along the way, he spreads his son's ashes, and along the way, he is slowly transformed. Throughout the movie, Martin Sheen's character catches visions and glimpses of his son, who is also traveling alongside his father, this liminal space. As someone who just returned from the Camino, it is indeed one of those places, a place between times, a place to rest and reflect and transform, a place to discern, to be bishop, a place where millions over thousands of years have walked before me and where I'm sure millions more will continue to walk. My own choice to walk the pilgrimage was quite personal, you see. With the loss of my father in 2021, and then a year later, my mother, I was feeling disconnected from my own past and my ancestry, and so I chose to walk, starting in the province of León, where both my maternal grandparents are from. Scripture tells us we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone before us, who are rooting for us as we work our way through this life before we become part of that cloud as well. It was in Spain, walking on that Camino, that I felt closest to those who came before me. It was an emotional walk. It was a walk that was hard. It was one day in particular as I was climbing the climb to El Cibrero, in the pouring rain, in thunder, with the last 4 miles literally straight up a mountain. I was sore. And when I finally went up there, I went to the Pilgrim's Mass. And at that Mass, I felt the presence of both my grandmother and my mother, a strong presence. And I was overcome, it was probably because I was tired and hurting, but I was overcome with this peace, this joy at the same time, but also sadness. This liminal space, that was the Camino for me. And so it is every Sunday when we gather around this table and begin the words of the Eucharist, when we sing the great hosannas. Perhaps you never noticed, but there is an invitation to live into that great mystery of this liminal space every Sunday at every Eucharist, and we'll get to do it tonight. The words, here they are. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. When we gather around that table and we sing those words, holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. The veil between us and heaven is removed, and we are singing with all those who have gone before us. It is at this moment, every Sunday and every Eucharist, that this veil is lifted and we are invited into this liminal space. Perhaps this is why I also feel closest to the ones I have loved and lost and see no longer when I celebrate the Eucharist. A mystery indeed. Whether it's through colorful and celebratory altars decorated with marigolds and food and pictures, or a Requiem Mass where we read out loud the names of our loved ones, these acts, these rituals remind us that we are still surrounded by those who have died. We are still surrounded by this cloud of witnesses, and that we belong to each other for eternity. For we are part of a love that is beyond death, a part of a community that spans centuries in which we are all connected to one another. So let us remember those whom we love and have touched and have impacted our lives. May we learn from past examples of the saints and the cloud of witnesses that have gone before us, and let us always remember that we are connected and belong to each other. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.